The Piano Matters is supported by Jacobs Music in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, the area representative of Steinway & Sons for new and previously owned Steinway pianos. More information is available at jacobsmusic.com. This is David Dubal, and it's a great pleasure welcoming you to The Piano Matters. And I think that all will go smoothly and beautifully. For your menu, I have Chopin and Gershwin, Lee Evans, Felix Mendelssohn, and much more. So let's begin right off with the third impromptu in F-sharp major by Frédéric Chopin, poet of the piano. It's a five-minute work. And deeper in tone, not as decorative as the other three impromptus. Very difficult, though, to arrive at a fine performance. And I think I have one for you, played by the Brazilian pianist Nelson Freire.
Thank you.
Chopin's third impromptu played on a high level, I think, by Nelson Ferrer. One commentator once said that the impromptu number 3 in F sharp is more like a ballade than an impromptu. I really agree. Well, here's my quiz question for the day. What was the party of George Washington when he won the presidency? The presidency number 1 and the presidency number 2. Yes, Johann Adams, John Adams. And the political party was the Federalist Party. Maybe we should bring it back. Samuel Johnson said, "Whatever you have, spend less." But good Dr. Johnson, isn't that un-American? I like this Johnson quote very much. Here it is. "If a man does not make new acquaintances as he advances through life, he will soon find himself alone. A man should keep his friendships in constant repair." Let's return to the piano, and I hope that you're practicing a little. Probably it would be good if you worked on Bach and Liszt for about 5 hours a day. You'll get a very good night's sleep then. But if not, just listen at least once a week or both times during the week to The Piano Matters. Lee Evans is perhaps the finest jazz theoretician writing on his subject today. Teaches at the Pace University. He's a prolific composer and in every way a true gentleman and a musician on high. I'd like you to hear the 3 small movements that are contained in what he calls his Carnival Suite for piano, and the composer Lee Evans is the player for us. What fine playing by Lee Evans in his Carnival Suite for piano. Later in the show, I have for you his wonderful Jazz Suite for piano. My colleague at the Juilliard School, the great pianist and teacher Jerome Lowenthal, has made a brilliant 2-CD set of many composers' cadenzas for the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 4. And you know how I love unusual things, and my goodness, is this unusual. Well, it's for both the first and third movements, so we will hear the cadenzas for both of the movements in this CD. It's a brilliant programming stroke, and these cadenzas are by many composers, from Mettner to Busoni to Hans von Bülow, Clara Schumann, on and on, Brahms. On this show, let's hear the first movement cadenza by Nikolai Mettner. Here is Jerome Lowenthal in Mettner's cadenza to the first movement of the fourth piano concerto, Opus 58, by L. van Beethoven. And you'll hear a Karl Topalov conducting. Thank you. how Metnerian is this cadenza with its extraordinary chromaticism winding through. It was the cadenza by the Russian master Metner for the first movement of Beethoven's Fourth Concerto and played so wonderfully by Jerome Lowenthal. Let's continue in this unusual path with Jerome Lowenthal giving us the first movement cadenza to the great Fourth Concerto by Beethoven, composed by Anton Rubinstein.
Thank you.
And that was the Rubinstein cadenza to the Piano Concerto No. 4 of Beethoven, and it was the first movement cadenza. The hands of Jerome Lowenthal played it with his mind and heart. What a happy idea these two discs represent. Cadenzas for the first and third movement for Beethoven's fourth piano concerto. Aldous Huxley, I will always quote him because he never is wrong. He said, "The law of diminishing returns holds good in almost every part of our human universe." In 1939, Gone with the Wind won Best Picture Award. What were the other notable ones that year that didn't win? The Wizard of Oz didn't win, and Goodbye, Mr. Chips. Both of those were nominations. I thought you'd like to know this. Morton Gould, not Glenn Gould, Morton Gould, born in 1913, was an American musical master. I'm shocked at how little of his marvelous and prolific output is performed, like almost all the Americans of his time. He just goes unplayed, always, of course, excepting Gershwin. Stanley Waldorf was fond of Gould's spiritual from his sonatina, and he recorded it for us, and that's my job, to let you hear it. So here is Waldorf in Gould's spiritual from his sonatina, and the spiritual is not to be confused with his orchestral works from 1940 called Three Spirituals for Orchestra. This is the piano sonatina, an unknown work. A meticulous and finely felt performance of Morton Gould's spiritual from his sonatina, Stanley Waldorf, the player. Let's return to the music of the prolific pianist-composer Lee Evans, one of the bright lights of New York's musical scene, sensitive to all that is beautiful. He is one of the most cogent writers on music. Always he teaches you something. He's a brilliant pianist as well, and we're going to listen to him in his four-movement jazz suite, each section under 1 minute. Here is Lee Evans. Thank you. the Jazz Suite, four movements, played beautifully by Lee Evans, who composed it. This is David Dubal in The Piano Matters. As we graze through the piano literature's endless garlands and glories, I have coming up for you two preludes, one by Gershwin, the other by Scriabin. The great historian Jacob Burckhardt says, "Every successful wickedness is, to say the least, a scandal. The only lesson to be derived from the successful misdeeds of the strong is to hold life there and now in no higher esteem than it deserves." We listen to Scriabin's Prelude No. 1 in C major from his set of Preludes, Opus 13, probably 1896. I'd like you to hear the Georgian-born virtuoso David Aladashvili. He's a graduate of the Juilliard School. I've had him on the program one previous time. And I'm privileged to know this young man, what verve, what flair he has, and as a pianist, what artistry. The Scriabin Prelude in C, David Aladashvili, the player. I've had Stanley Waldoff on the show many times. He's recorded many miniatures, and his recordings fit beautifully into the scheme. And we're going to return to his art in an exceptional performance of the Gershwin Prelude No. 2. It's usually, for me, played too slowly. There's a performance by Leonard Bernstein, who certainly is a great Gershwinist, and it's much too slow for me. Well, here, to my taste, just on center, Stanley Waldoff. Thank you. Gershwin wrote only three published preludes in his lifetime in 1928. He was a young man of 26, and what a shame he didn't write more for solo piano. I would have loved to have had a sonata. Anyway, this is the middle of the three preludes, and it's a beautiful blues piece. Stanley Waldorf played it very well. Ambrose Bierce, not Pierce, wrote, I love this, "Twice is once too often. I often feel that." He wrote this: "Painting is the art of protecting flat surfaces from the weather and exposing them to the critic." And this one on litigation, listen here. "Litigation is a machine which you go into as a pig and come out of as a sausage." You must read his dictionary. I forget the actual title, but it is great. He goes through many, many things, and he puts them down magnificently. One of Mendelssohn's most famous melodies is from his song, On Wings of Song, and Liszt transcribed it for the piano very well, rather elaborately, and he puts the melody beautifully placed in the tenor region of the piano. We're going to listen to this fancy packaging of Mendelssohn's simple song by the British pianist Todd Crow. Well done, Mr. Crow. You played it not too purple, and that's good. Todd Crow in On Wings of Song by that angelic master, Felix Mendelssohn, 1809-1847. And did he pack a lifetime or five lifetimes into that small amount of years. Ortega y Gasset thinks it's the mission of history to make our fellow beings acceptable to us. At the risk of being a bore, I want to remind you, my dear listeners, to please help this station to retain our high standing, our high level on radio. We need your support to continue giving you our services, the great music you receive so effortlessly. I believe our programming to be a valuable cultural service, which should not be shunned. So give what you can. Believe me, every dime will be used for you. I'd like you to hear my own performance of the Rhapsody No. 1 in C Major by Erno van Dohnányi, 1877. I think he died in 1961. An admirable composer. Not much is played anymore. Born in Hungary. And he taught many of the 20th century's many Hungarian pianists. And everyone, it seemed, had to study with Dohnányi. He was the czar of piano teachers. Well, the Rhapsody is an extroverted work, high-spirited. And there's three times that there's a very engaging, passionate tune. Well, here is yours truly in the Dohnányi Rhapsody, Opus 11, probably composed in 1911. Thank you. David Dubal playing the Rhapsody by Dohnányi. It had some verve, it had a little humor, and I hope in the passionate melody, some passion. Ars longa vita brevis. Art is long, life is short. By the way, what do you think of having Latin become the universal language? It's really the best language. Or am I wrong? And won't you visit my website and turn when you get there to the gallery so you can view about 60 of my paintings? I'd love them to be seen. And it's daviddubal.org. We heard Mendelssohn's On Wings of Song. Let's turn again to the Leipzig master. The first movement of his F-sharp minor fantasy opus 28, dedicated to Ignaz Moscheles, his teacher. And the pianist's name here is Gitti, G-I-T-T-I, Pirner, P-I-R-N-E-R. Well, it's more than a good piece. The F-sharp minor sonata is in three movements. We heard only the first movement. I call it close to a masterpiece, this Opus 28, and many pianists should play it. I know that the last movement is played by Shura Tchaikovsky so well that I can't believe what I'm hearing. Gitzi Perner played it very well, the first movement. I'm hoping you'll join me next week, same time, same station, and this station is tremendous, if you've noticed. And you can also hear it worldwide if you happen to be in Moravia. Listen to it on the internet. Chesterton always brings a smile to me, and sometimes a scowl. Anyway, he says, the Victorians were lame giants. The strongest of them walked on one leg a little shorter than the other. There is a moment when Carlyle himself turns suddenly from a high creative mystic to a common Calvinist. There are moments even when George Eliot turns from a prophetess into a governess. And there are moments when Ruskin turns into a governess without even the excuse of sex. This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening. The Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network. It is recorded at the Kaufman Music Center, home of Merkin Concert Hall, 129 West 67th Street in New York City. The producer, Rachel Katz. For a playlist, go to wwfm.org, click on Classical, and choose Search Playlists. The Piano Matters is made possible with the support of the listener members of the Classical Network.